We want to see families set free. We want to see people hold on today. Let the word go forth, Paul. know I'm gonna take this down just a little bit from now, so I won't have to. I know it's loud, so listen. Yeah, that sounds good right there. Amen. Now I know. Probably not all of us, but some of us, in a few hours, amen. God, who's seen, you're on whose side you're on, you're going to be shouting. Amen. Maybe you even have a team, but you don't place a bet. Or you got your goal. Your team win. Ain't nobody gonna beat you praying the Lord. Praying their team. You happy? Shout. I'm saying right now. God can take care of us all year long. We've been good to us all week. He's made a way to us. He's a God that never lost a battle. His record is perfect. If anybody needs a prayer,
Thank you.
1 through 13. We're only going to read 1 through 8. We'll be mentioning those other verses later on. But we're only going to read verses 1 through 8 in your hearing. Amen. Looks like everybody got one. Reads, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. As the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. Amen. Somebody might say, undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
All right.
Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.
Yes.
And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send?
Yes.
And who will go for us? Then said I,
come on now.
Here am I.
My God.
Send me.
My God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So I kind of want to do it. Talk about doing it sometimes, I can do it. The Wings is the best, the ladies' basketball team in Dallas, and some other teams do it too. But you got to stand. Amen. You got to stand until you get the first score. Amen. Amen. I think sometimes I need to get standing, somebody get a breakthrough. I got no breakthrough. Amen. You will sit down. Amen. But what a wonderful God. We say, listen, let's get into it. I want to call this word today. I want to call this word today. I entitled it, and I think it goes, Glory's Seismic Shift. Glory's, speaking of the glory of God, glory's seismic shift. The word seismic means having to do with like an earthquake.
Right.
Related to an earthquake. When you put that seismic shift together, it really talking about a very sudden or dramatic change.
Okay. All right.
My premise this morning is once you see the glory of God, or you experience the glory of God, it will cause a seismic shift in your life.
Yeah.
It'll cause a quake in your life. Amen. Have you had a quake in your life? Amen. Because a quake shakes things up and changes and shifts. Man, when you experience the glory of God, it shifts and shakes and reorders your priorities.
Yes, it does.
In your whole life, it just switches when you experience the glory of God. We're going to continue to talk about that until you kind of get a hold he had great military. He led a great military, and they had a lot of victories over those enemies in his territory. Uzziah was a good king, and God blessed him where he, not only did they prosper militarily, but they prospered in Judah financially and materially, where they, amen, the stock market went up.
All right.
Amen. And the minimum wage went up, and people's salaries began to grow, and businesses took off, and everybody in Judah was enjoying the prosperity. But Uzziah was king, and you know how it is, and Uzziah being king, enjoying the prosperity, he saw all the successes under his reign. But I want to tell you now, you have to be careful when you experience prosperity and success.
That's real.
Uzziah started out good, depending on God, trusting in God, and God blessed him.
Right.
But there's a problem with prosperity sometimes.
Come on now.
Because sometimes prosperity brings on pride.
Been there.
Sometimes when you're prosperous and you enjoy victories, you'll forget who gives.
Right.
You'll forget the giver of the victories.
Come on now.
And you'll think you won the victories on your own.
Can
I get in here, anybody? Uzziah got a little bit off track when he began to see all the great things that were happening around him as he was king of Judah. And he got off track and got lifted up to pride. He started out good. But prosperity brought about pride.
Yeah.
I just want to throw this in. Y'all didn't pay for this one. But often when you get in pride, pride kills your praise.
Amen.
Well, I wish I had a witness.
Amen.
When you get pride and think you get it all, you don't praise the one from where your blessing comes from.
Yeah.
Got to get with us?
I like that.
Pride will kill your praise. So he got lifted up in pride. Got lifted up. And he said, one day, you know, he began to do something that he wasn't qualified to do. Well, sometimes pride makes you do that.
Yeah.
It will.
Only the Aaronic priesthood were to burn incense at the altar. But sometimes Uzziah said, wait a minute, I'm king. I'm prosperous. I'm doing a good job. I'm going to burn some incense. He wasn't set aside for that. That wasn't his job. He wasn't qualified for that. And God, because of that sin, caused Uzziah to become a leper. And he died of leprosy. And Isaiah said that same year that he died. Because now we're in a crisis.
Right. Yeah.
Whole country will be led by this great man. Now he's gone. The one we look to for victory. The one that was our king and brought us so much prosperity. Now he's dead. So it caused a crisis. But crises are good.
Amen.
Oh, y'all always had a witness in here.
They can be. Amen.
But I think before I told you, crises help you to see who Christ is.
Right.
Thank God for crises. Because if I never had a crisis, I wouldn't know who Christ is.
Come on now.
But it's in the midst of my crisis that I really understood that my Christ, amen, and all that he is to me.
All right.
So every once in a while, when you see yourself in a crisis, God, I thank you that I'm in a crisis, because that gives me another opportunity to learn more about who Christ is.
Because
he designed crises to introduce you to who Christ is.
Oh,
I wish I had a witness in somebody. Anybody ever been to a crisis and after you came out of the crisis, you knew Christ better?
Yeah, God.
And because I knew Christ better, the whole crisis was wiped.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes,
Christ Jesus.
My Lord.
He was in the same year, a vision came to Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet. But if you understand here, the Lord don't want me to preach this word, you know how to preach it anyway. The enemy don't want me to preach it. Here we go. As I saw the Lord. And he was high and lifted up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a vision. It could have been a vision of him in a temple, or it could have been a vision of him actually in his heavenly throne. But he saw God high and lifted up.
Yeah.
And that's what we, and that brings to mind that fact that he's high and lifted up, he's over everything, means he's sovereign.
Right.
He's
right.
In control. He's king. He has the last say so.
Yeah.
He's in charge. He's a CEO. He's over this thing.
Thank you, Lord God.
When you're in a crisis, I'm glad that I can look at this example. And know that God is still in charge.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
You hear me? But sometimes in a crisis, you feel like everything's out of control. Everything's out of control.
My Lord.
But I always remember in the midst of my crises that God is in control of my out of control.
Yeah.
Oh, you can see that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're in a situation like parents. Sometimes we feel that.
Amen.
Because at a certain point as a parent, when your child begins to become an adult.
Right.
Yeah.
Lord help.
And you can't control things like you used to control.
Yeah.
But it's good to know that when we don't know where they're at.
Lord have mercy.
All right.
We don't know why they're running late.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we don't know how much trouble they're getting themselves into.
Right.
That we still know God is in control.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to do that. If you don't want to stay up, you want to worry about that thing too much at night. You just don't let it alone. It's in your hands.
You got God.
And you can do a better job.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
So I let you have it. Because amen. The Bible says that God never slumbers nor sleep. So why should I? And you should be losing no sleep. Since the Lord stand up, I let him stand up. And I talk to him about it when I get up. Thresholds. fellowship and the boys and women call. And the house was filled with what?
Smoke.
A soup field. Okay? And the other field, it says, when the earth, you find that one. Y'all see it before I know? The earth was filled with his glory. That's in the middle. Right after three, and in one part of the letter, it said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. So we see that filled thing three times.
Right, yeah. Right.
The glory of God is taking over because that's in the train field of the temple. There was nowhere you can go in the temple where his train would. The train, you know like when you have a wedding and the bride has a long thing back. That's the train. Now kings have that. And the longer the train, the more the power.
Okay.
So when it says, amen, the train filled the temple, it said, hey, there's nowhere you can step with God's power.
It's not. Come on now.
He got all power.
Yeah.
Amen. He's everywhere. His power is everywhere. Yeah. It's filled with him. It trained. It's that symbolizes the power of God.
Yeah.
Filled the whole temple.
Yeah. The whole temple.
And the glory filled the whole earth.
My Lord.
Oh, you can't get my Lord. Him. It's the glory. It's the glory of God that changes everything. Now I'm going to tell you something about glory. The Hebrew term for glory, I don't know if I told you this last week, from the Hebrew word kavod. And it means weight. It means it's weighted.
Okay.
It's heavy. It got some weight on it.
Okay.
It means something. It can compare that which is heavy to that which is light. You know, something light, it don't make an impression on you. Pharaoh come up on you, it don't really bother nothing. You. When Pharaoh falls on you, it don't bother. You know, Pharaoh falls on the ground, it don't. It ain't heavy.
Okay.
It don't shake nothing.
Right.
It don't shake nothing up. Feathers, because they are light,
okay. They
don't shake nothing up.
Okay.
But oh, let a meteor fall.
Okay.
The right side meteor could shake up the whole atmosphere of the earth.
Right.
Well, a few days ago, I think they were practicing on sending a rock and something to see if you can stop a meteor, just get one. Because that meteor, because of its weight, if it hit the earth, could cause all kinds of catastrophes. God is a God that's weighty. We won't worry about a feather is coming toward the earth. But when there's a meteor coming, we got to make some changes. Where is it going to hit? Where is it going? Because it's heavy. You have to rearrange some things because it's heavy. It's important. It's heavy that makes it more important than a light thing.
Uh-huh.
When we say God is holy, and listen, the angels say he's holy, holy, holy. Now, in Hebrew, when you study the Hebrew language, it shows the predicates by, and it shows graduation of things by how many times the word is repeated. There's a passage in the scriptures, I forget that passage now, but it's talking about falling into a pit. In most translations, it says like a big pit. But when you take it back to the Hebrew, it says a pit. In order to indicate how big it is, you repeat things.
Okay.
It's like using breaks up to a power. You know, when you was in math, you said 10 to the first power, to the second power, you 10 times 10, then to the third power, 10 times 10 times. So when that's what Hebrew language. The more you repeat the thing, the more powerful it is.
Okay.
Now, last week, okay, I bought that last week. Hit back last week. If you want to hear last week, you see it up on page over last week. When we gave a definition of God's glory, because this is important for this point, for you to understand this point. We said the definition of God's glory is the infinite. I mean, it ain't got no end. God's glory ain't got no end.
Right.
And then there's another word we said is indescribable.
Yeah.
You can't describe it. It's infinite. It ain't got no end. It's indescribable. You can't describe it. And it's perfect.
My.
His holiness. God's glory, God's holiness is infinite, indescribable.
Yes.
He's so holy that you can't even understand. It's beyond you. God, you can't understand God because he's so glorious. It's beyond, you can't find words.
My Lord.
It's like asking a newborn, a baby, maybe, that's been born, and maybe he's 2 or 3 weeks old, and you ask him to describe the Grand Canyon. You don't have words for it.
Right, yeah.
And no human being can ever even get a handle on or describe how glorious our God is.
My Lord.
Holy, holy, holy is the God of glory. And when Isaiah sees how holy God is, there's a shifting. We see God. What happens? We often, what we do before we see his glory, we have a God that's created. The created God, I think I got on your paper, the number one. The created, the God that's created. We create a God. John Calvin says the human heart is an idol factory. We create idols.
Yeah.
You know how to create idols. They create idols of metal. We create idols of a God in our mind. This is the kind of God I want to serve.
Right.
It's a God that you created.
Yeah.
It's a God that we're comfortable with. Because
yeah.
if you create a God that you're comfortable with, you don't have to change nothing in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to create, you know, this is where I thank God. You'll say, this is where I thank God is. And we try to put this God, this image, this concept of God, that we can feel good because, you know, we got God. But it's a God that's not a real God. He's not the reality of God. It's one we've created in our own thought process. It's an idea about God that we've created in our own thought process so we can live comfortable with our regular lives and we don't have to change. But then when the glory comes and you see, when you get a sense of the true glory and holiness of God, you say, oh, my God, there's nothing like that. When the God I had, I felt all right about serving him.
Yeah.
Felt like I was doing pretty good with him.
This one here. Yeah.
I thought me and him was good. My life was good. You know, I do a little something like this, a little over there. But, you know, I thought overall, because of the God that I had created in my mind.
Right.
If I'm in trouble, if I'm sick, I'll If I need a breakthrough, I'll call. Other than that, I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to do me.
Yeah.
But then when you get in a crisis because you're doing you.
Right.
And God's okay. Now you ready to follow me now? Are you ready? Hey, God, you thought, see, before you get the right idea about God, you thought you mattered most. God's trying to say, you don't matter most. I matter most. It's my kingdom. It's my will be done. You got to reorder your life around me. I'm not going to reorder heaven around you.
Yeah.
He changed you. And said, when we heard the voice, he shook. I'm talking about that side. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That side of the ship, it shook the whole temple.
Yeah.
When I left, saw his vision, it shook the whole temple.
My Lord.
Sure. Sometimes you got to shake everything.
Amen. Jesus.
To get you to where you want to be.
That's real.
Until you say, God, I see now. You are sovereign. You are holy, holy, holy. You matter most. You're the head. You got the weight. I'm just a fellow.
Yeah.
And fellows can't change rocks.
Amen.
But rocks can change worlds.
Amen.
He saw God high and lifted up, and it changed his whole. It shook up his whole God concept. Because now he had the God that had so much weight, who was like a meteor coming in and Christ crashing his little idea of God into peace. Now you see the real God. And he said, woe is me.
Yeah.
Now, if you look back in chapter 5, in chapter 5, he was talking to Judah. You just do that in your homework. He was talking to Judah, and because of the way they were living, because they had got lifted up in pride, too, and prosperity, and all that, and they just kind of got a little wild. But he said, woe unto you.
Yeah.
Woe means you're cursed.
Yeah, come on, bring
it down. I try to tell people. Whatever God says, whoa, that means you got a heart. Whoa. That's what God is trying to tell you. He's trying to say, you need to slow down. You need to stop some things that you do. Amen. But you need to change your direction. That like he's trying to catch the reins of your life and tell you, you're headed for destruction. Whoa! It's a pronouncement. If you keep in the direction, you won't run into trouble. It's saying that you're cursed because of the way you're living.
Whoa.
I said, you're cursed because of the way you're living.
Yeah.
And your idolatry. And your pride.
Yeah.
And your possession will make you silly in your mind. But then, when Isaiah saw God, the prophet said to himself, not only is Judah cursed, but I'm cursed.
Right.
I see now. I used to think I was all right when I had my own idea about how God was. But now that I really see the true and living God, I'm not all right.
Yeah.
I'm undone.
Yeah.
I'm wretched.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
My God.
Sign the shift comes in the way we see ourselves. Look at A on the number 2. Abraham said, you are more sinful. That's what we're going in first, right? And flawed than you ever dared to believe.
Wow, that's real.
You don't want to believe that. That's why you made your own way. God, I can't be that bad.
I can't be that bad. Yeah.
I can't be that bad of a person. You really want to say it because we're looking at somebody else, another human being.
Yeah.
We compare and I say, man, I don't do that, they do that, you know. Yeah. And most times, we're comparing our public self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. She had a witness up in here.
Yeah.
But what about your pride?
Yeah.
Think about your pride, Michelle.
Come on.
Michelle, that you, amen. Yeah. Michelle, that you really are the God, but nobody's listening. Nobody's looking. Come and he, I just said, no, no. But now that I see who God is, how holy God is, I'm messed up.
Nothing.
You ain't really ready. You ain't really ready to walk and follow and be disciple and live for God until you first see how messed up you are.
Yeah, 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 jacked up, yeah, ragged.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You didn't think you need church. You don't need no church. I don't. Them people out there, you know, they got the same problem I do and such and such up, and I can live without God, and I'm all right. You know, amen. Until you see his glory, until you see how weighty, how heavy, how mighty, how excellent he is, you won't understand how messed up you are.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
I just said, I'm messed up. Whoa. I'm cursing my own self.
Yeah.
But I'm messed up. My mouth is messed up. Now, when he says my mouth is messed up, it don't only mean that he cursed a lot. But he said my mouth is messed up a lot of times. Let me say like the Bible says, what comes out of the mouth of man starts at the heart. So if what's coming out of your mouth is messed up, it shows that your
heart.
Because your heart just tells people. Your mouth can tell what's on your heart.
Come on.
Oh, and some of us with a lot of self-control, we can keep our mouth shut. Amen.
Yeah.
At least in club, in church. You know, we keep our mouth. We got a whole lot of stuff in us, but we keep our mouth in church. We don't curse as much. We don't tell the same jokes. I wish I had a witness in here. I don't know if somebody going to be real in here. Amen. You don't tell the same stories. You don't talk about people like you talk about me. You don't gossip. Same. But oh, if it's really in you, it's going to come out. Can I get a witness here? And Isaiah said, I'm a prophet. I'm God's mouthpiece. But even being a prophet, I still got a messed up mouth. But I got a messed up heart. People came up, looked in the mirror, and saw themselves, and they took the mirror. I give you grace. And then he said,
thank you for grace, Lord.
Woe is me, I'm a wretch under the Lord. And the people around me messed up. And God says,
my Lord.
Here come mercy. Here come mercy. Here come mercy.
Yeah.
I'm glad mercy showed up when you're in a crisis. Hallelujah. I'm a man of unclean, I'm willing to miss people up here. For my eyes, see, I didn't know this until I had this vision. For my eyes have seen the King of glory, Lord of hosts. And then God said, wait a minute. That's just part of the story. Yes, you are more sinful and flawed than you ever dare believe. But the second part of the story is, you are more loved.
Thank you, Lord God.
And accepted than you ever been.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
But all your stuff.
In spite of.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
How can you? I never thought. How can you love somebody like me? But you are more in your situation.
Yeah.
You are more loved and accepted than you ever been.
Thank you.
Isn't that grace? Isn't that grace? So, it really says. Then, verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal, that he had taken tongue from the altar.
Yeah.
And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips.
Yeah.
Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.
Thank you, Lord God.
That right there. That right there. Amen.
Yep.
We should have been shouting right there. Like our favorite team have made a touchdown and won the championship. Hey, I was so messed up. And then the angel God came and he was talking about, here is the coal from the altar. Because the altar is where you make the sacrifice. The sacrifice represents Christ who died for us. When the sacrifice was made, the blood from the sacrifice died on the coal. So when the angel brought the coal, it had the blood on it. And when he put the blood where the sin was, the blood take away the sin. What shall wash away all my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious, heal the soul. That makes me white as snow. No other.
Yeah.
See, black people obey God very little. Religious people. Religious folks say, oh, I want God to love me. So I'm going to try to keep it, you know, I'm going to try to keep the commandments and stuff. My but God. I say, earn God. So. And religious folks, I ain't talking about Christian now. Christian religion, a whole lot, a whole different thing.
My God.
Religion, when you're trying to work your way to heaven, you can't do enough work to get to heaven. But now it says, but Christians obey God because they already love.
Yeah.
I obey him because he loved me so much.
Yeah.
He died for me on Calvary and changed my whole life.
Yeah.
Even when I was so sinful and flawed beyond my imagination, he loved and accepted me so much that he sent his son.
Yeah.
A shift in the way you think about yourself. So now I'm humble because I know I didn't do it on my own. I'm not going to hell because of what I did. I'm going to hell because of what he did. I'm humble by that. I can't be proud. I can't be proud of my progress. In the Christian life. I can't be proud of my growth, but now I'm holy. So there's no room for pride. But I can be bold.
Right.
I can't be proud because he did. But I can be bold.
Yeah.
Because he loves me.
Yeah.
It's his love for me that makes me, I'm loved by God. When you love by God, you say, oh yeah. I'm somebody because he loves me.
Yeah.
I can do this thing. I can get a victory because he loves me.
Yeah.
He's an amazing God. I got to throw this thing out. Just number 3. I would say there's a silent shift in the way we see God. There's a silent shift in the way we see ourselves. And lastly, there's a silent shift in how we see our mission. How we see our mission.
Come on. Yeah.
He says, he needed somebody. God. Let me read that. And here the boy, Lord, said, whom shall I see?
Come on.
Who will go for it? I'm looking for, I got a mission. I got an assignment. Who shall I see?
Yeah.
Who will go for us?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes we ain't seen the glory.
Yeah.
You say, God, you know, I would go. But I'm busy. I know you got something for me to do, but you know, I work, you know, and I would like to come serve
my Lord.
You know, disciples, somebody be involved in some activities. But Lord, I work like 48, 50 hours, and I just don't have time to do it.
My Lord.
Oh, you know, God, you know, I just have time, you know, watch my car.
My Lord.
Take a little time to get my tires just right.
Then
and then, you know, Lord, we work, we hard all week. I got to take time to go hang out with the boys, with the girls, you know, we need to go out and get chill a little bit. I need to have my time with the boys, the girls, hang out with them. Lord, by the time that, you know, it's already Monday, you know. But I like what Isaiah said. When he said, who gonna go? Isaiah said,
yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah.
change people's lives for generations and eternity.
Yeah.
The thing you want to do is say where the person ends up in heaven or hell.
Children
for generations.
Yes.
I'll give up. Just tell me what you want me to do.
Yes.
My
God.
My
here
God.
Am I.
Yes.
I'll go. So he said, I'm available. Yes. Secondly, in that blank, not only was Isaiah available, but Isaiah said Isaiah was faithful.
Right.
I read them verses down to 13. I'm going to let you read them on yourself. But God said, now listen to him. Now that you say you're going to go, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about this.
Right.
I'm going to tell you the sign. You got to go preach to them.
Yeah.
But I said, they ain't going to listen to me. They ain't going to change. They're going to keep doing what they're doing.
My Lord.
I want you to keep preaching. They'll keep sinning. They'll keep in the doubt. They ain't gonna change. They just gonna keep on doing what they do. You're not gonna be very productive. Don't expect no change.
Jesus.
Don't expect the church to be full.
My God.
Sometimes you may be empty.
Jesus.
Isaiah, I don't want you to keep preaching.
My God.
I don't want you to keep the sermon.
Yeah. Yeah.
When nobody comes, stay faithful.
Yeah.
Stay faithful.
Yeah.
And Isaiah says, here am I sitting. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why Isaiah was able to stay faithful is because Isaiah did not have to prove himself.
Because
he was already loved by God.
Yeah.
Already affirmed.
A lot of times, the reason why we want to see results
is
because we want to feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I talked to these people, and about two or three said, can't trust them. And you're going to say, oh, I done something. Ooh, I feel good about myself.
My Lord.
Some people forgot to feel good about yourself. Oh, we got to feed the hungry. Or whatever we're doing, the best people, we feel good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But what about when you sent you on a sign?
Nobody
checked.
Come on.
You go to hang out and nobody shows up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You go to help and nobody's listening.
Yeah.
You're praying and nobody's answering.
What is it really about?
You can still feel good about you.
Yeah.
Because you know he loves you.
Yeah.
And when he loves you, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I'm being faithful to the one that loves me.
Yeah.
I don't care what people say about it. I don't care what people say, you know, this church is bigger than your church. This church can preach better than you are. Whatever it is, on your job, amen.
Yeah.
You know, you've been on that job 25 years. And you still at the bottom level.
Yeah.
Niggas don't want you at the bottom level because they were people you need to touch.
My Lord, that's real.
Yeah.
You said, whatever, man, say what you want to.
Yeah.
And look at that, you got that old car, you're going to church and you're driving, but thank you, barely to make it.
Yeah.
And you got to boot it off every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said, yeah. And your neighbor looking at you, oh,
still
going.
Yeah.
You said, it's all right. He
yeah.
loves
all right. Yeah.
He loves me even though I got this job. Amen. I'm barely making a minimum.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He loves me even though my car ain't like all the other cars in the parking lot. He loves me even though I'm on every day of church going to do sometimes. He don't turn. I show up at Sunday school and ain't for two or three people to teach, but I'm right there because I'm not there for how many people are there. I show up, amen, in the man child and sometimes no man come or sometimes more come. And I know it's more man than that. I show up in the women's class, and it seems like sometimes they show up and sometimes they don't. Even every time we have something to do, I never can tell who's going to be there. But Lord, if nobody else goes, please send me. Because it don't make me no difference no more. Because you love me. You changed me. You saved me. If all I am is because of you, you matter. Pleasing you matters most. More than anything. Hallelujah. I pour my life to my children and they don't care. My spouse don't understand and not make everything they should do. But I'll still be the best wife, the best husband, available.
Yeah.
He was faithful. And lastly, he was hopeful.
Yeah.
I was saying, like on the tree to shut off, but it's a little bit of a tree left. He said the tree's gonna grow back. He said that that's where Israel, Judah gonna be cut out and go through all this, and they're gonna be like a stump. But that stump can grow back, Lord Savior.
Yeah.
So sometimes we try everything fails. Why do we keep serving God? Why do we stay on our assignment? Why do we keep giving him our all? Because one of these days, I got some hope.
Yeah.
That maybe it may not be for 2 or 3 kids in my life. Amen. I may have a hard time at school teaching in the public school system. But if I can change one life, Lord, hallelujah. I'm going to be one somebody in my day whose life I can change. It may be one somebody in my Sunday school class whose life can be changed. When I walk up and down this block, there might be somebody in this block. There might be somebody in this office whose life is changed. So as long as I got hope to see what God can do, I'm going to keep showing up. Change the world. Years back, a couple of decades ago, they said,